It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106, or send us a text to that same number, 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet. And then some of our other fine sponsors are Alabama Pipe and Supply, Atmore Dragway, SMR Automotive, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fabulous Seafood Shed.
Yep.
I think Panini Pete's going to give us a call in next week. We've got an exciting event going on over there on the Friday night, the 12th.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get a report next Monday night about what's going on over there, and everybody will be happy with it. But if you have a chance to get out, especially veterans and first responders, be sure to let them know that you are a veteran and are a first responder and get your 15% discount because they love their vets. And all you guys vets, go by that missing MIA table that's over in there in the main dining room. The missing veteran sitting there.
Oh, yeah?
It's one table with one chair, and it's, as I say, it's the MIA missing in action veteran table. So
Wait for him to come home.
He has, right. Which he has a table set for him. When he gets here, he's got a table for him.
There you go. Yep. Always glad to see that for sure.
Yes, sir.
But if you want to listen to the show on podcast, you can. Go to FMTalk1065.com. Click on the podcast button at the top of the screen. So
you can, and then you scroll down till you find the show.
Scroll down to find which show you want to listen to, and you can listen to it whenever you like.
But, even in the middle of the night, if you have trouble sleeping.
Oh, yeah.
Are you trying to say we're going to put them to sleep?
Is no, but after they've heard it three or four times.
Okay.
Or they can go, if they're really bored, they can go to CastBox and look up Scuttlebutt Network and listen to some of my tirades.
Yeah, but then they might want to get up and go out and
whip somebody. Oh, hell, they won't sleep for a week.
Yeah.
They'd be ready to go to work then, maybe. They listed a couple of those.
Or go clean out a few bars.
Yeah. Why not?
Might as well. Let's see. We got Atmore Dragway, one of our fine sponsors. They're taking Saturday off. It's still a little warm. We're supposed to be in fall, but I don't think anybody told the weather.
They didn't tell the weather.
And so they're going to take Saturday off, and they got their Sunday events there, Grudge Cast Sunday, Test and Tune, and then they'll be racing the next Saturday on the 13th. They'll have their NHRA ET Bracket Racing, Super Pro Street ET, and Motorcycles.
There you go.
Now, Kevin, if I can find the Wind Creek Casino, can I find the drag strip?
You have to go by it. If you're coming from this direction, you have to go by the drag strip. All you got to do is look over to the right while you're
Go by the casino.
Right. When you go into the casino, and you'll see it over there. And then there's signs when you're heading to the casino. Yep. There's signs to get you there. So easy to find.
Drag strip's on the right just before you get to the casino.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. If they're racing out there, trust me, you won't miss it because it's lit up.
Yes, sir.
It is lit up for sure. But
well, it's good to have extra things to do in Atmore, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you might run out of money gambling, I guess,
Go to the drag strip first.
Oh, first. Or put back enough money to get in, then go.
Oh, man, everybody's got a credit card.
There you go.
That's true. Yeah.
Zip the card, baby.
They'll find a way to get you in.
Zip the card.
That's right. Just leave the card in the car when you go in the casino.
I'll bet we're going to get some calls tonight about the cars that need to be repaired.
I hope so.
You take that?
I'll take a couple of those.
How about some of the text messages?
Mm-hmm.
Some of our zip whip text messages here.
We got one up here right now. Can you plug or patch a Z-rated tire? The answer is yes, you can, long as it's in the center part of the tread. But you lower the speed rating of that tire.
Right.
So most places will not do it because if you were to take it out there and have a problem at high speed with it, then, that still opens them for a liability.
You can do anything you want to your tire. But right. don't expect a shop to do that to what to a Z-tire.
Yeah.
What is a Z-tire?
Well, it's a Z rated, which is speed rating, which is
so
one of the
high
highest.
Speed?
It's a high speed rated tire.
What is that? Over 70 or something?
Well over 70.
You know, yes.
So, you know, it's
you've tested those out, have you?
A couple times. Yeah, they work. They
test them just to make sure the tires work.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
If they stay on the car.
If they
don't work, well, then he just says, oh, right. Heck.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have to warranty that.
back in the day, I've been dumb enough to try some of them non-speed rated tires at high speeds, too. They work okay.
So far, I've never lost one at high speed.
I've always kept all four of them on at high speeds like that. Now, I have lost them on a racetrack, but that's a whole different deal. And they've got like a ring around that place to keep you inside, so you know they're not going to get out very
far.
So, even though I tried real hard at Mobile a few times, but that was not something I'd recommend.
I've seen guys go off the back straightaway and try to get down through, get away from the track going through the woods.
That
didn't work.
I've been there.
You've been there too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those trees wouldn't move over and let you by?
No, I ended up out in the woods down there off of three, upside
Gerald,
down.
I saw Gerald go down there one Sunday too.
Yeah, yeah. Seen him down off the other end down there, with a had an appointment with a dump truck and a bulldozer.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
Lucky to walk away from that.
Knocked the rear end out from under that dump truck.
Yeah, yeah. It took him a while to pay for that one. He didn't have much of a sense of humor about that for a long
time.
Oh, Lord,
no. So. All right, come on, guys. Come on, give us a call here. Let's fix some cars.
Yep.
343-0106. You can text or call.
There you go.
Yep.
Let's talk about batteries for a minute. I had me a battery event.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that works on cars and all is the last car that you work on or you're going to fix is yours.
Right.
I always look under, raise the hood on the wife's down car, and everything looks fine. I don't see anything, but then I go to get gas and I get in there and it goes click 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 click. And I say, oh, you got to be kidding! Click click. So I go out and I look at the battery. I said, oh, it looks pretty good. It's there. And then I reached and raised up the little red cover that's over the positive cable, and there was about 3 pounds of funk under there.
That little red cover was just kind of containing
Red cover was containing all of the stuff that was on that positive cable.
Right.
And so I think what happened was the positive cable wasn't making enough connection to the point where the battery was running at a low charge, for such a time that I actually killed it.
Yeah, you can kill it, and I've seen that before where you had a bad connection there at the cable, and it has enough of a connection to get the car cranked, but it's not really recharging that battery correctly. as it's running. So
I've had to slip over to the fabulous Dewitt's battery service.
Got you taken care of.
Got over in Crichton, Tim and Mr. David Dewitt did an awesome job. I tell you what, they took the battery off, took the battery out, took the cables off, cleaned everything up, sprayed it down with all the good stuff,
Yep.
Said, we got you ready to go here. It's X amount of dollars. I said, all right, rock and roll.
There you go.
Yeah.
And let's see, we got a caller online. Caller, are you with us?
Hello. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I wanted to start your night off for your callers.
Okay, good.
I wanted to jump right in, Tom.
I hear you, T. Go ahead.
So my bicycle has been going slower and slower as I get older and older.
I
wondered if they had Z tires for bicycles. You're welcome. Have a great night. Love you.
Thanks, Thomas.
Thomas, you have to realize that the speed of that bike is called foot power. Your foot power is slowing down.
Yeah, and the downside to a bike, if you get it rolling that fast, and you fall off of it, like a lot of people do, it don't feel too good being going fast on them.
Skin the bark up on that. It's like riding. When I was younger, I rode motorcycles. I lost a lot of bark there too.
Yeah, yeah.
But then when you ride the bicycles, then you ride slower, but you still lose bark. And all you guys out there know what I'm talking about, bark.
Oh, yeah. And that's something that I never did much of is riding motorcycles, because I know me.
Yeah.
I would have got out there and done something stupid,
Well, I like to crack up. I saw it was watching TV here over the weekend, and some kid was his daddy was fixing to get on a motorcycle, and the kid says, Daddy, do you ride your motorcycle without your training wheels? He said, yes, darling, I do.
All right, we're going to take a break on that note and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curves, flattening the hills. Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will. Making their way the only way they know how. That's just
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in. And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But we do have a caller online. Danny, you with us?
Yeah, I am.
All right, what can we do for you?
Well, I've got a 02 Trailblazer, and I got some sort of electrical problem in it. My right speaker on my radio works, but not all the time.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes the dinger where you put your key in, it starts dinging.
Yeah.
It'll ding real loud, and just out of the blue. And then it'll stop, and then my right speaker starts working. And let me tell you this, too, that when it's dinging real loud like it's supposed to, all the speakers work.
Yeah. You know, more than likely you have a problem with the radio itself. You know, you're key chime and warning bells and all that, they're all done through the radio nowadays. And it should all be done through the left speaker. It's really the only speaker that plays the chimes. And more than likely, you know, we've seen a lot of problems with those earlier radios on those. Depending on which system you have, it could have an amp on it, but they didn't really use the amp on the front speakers that much. So more than likely it's just a problem with the radio itself. Unfortunately, there's not really anybody in town that I know of that can go in that radio and do much with it. It's pretty much just an exchange type repair, where you just have to replace the radio and move on.
You think there was still some radios that maybe people like Councilman or some of these yards?
and that is possible. It has to be the right radio number, and then it still has to be programmed to the truck to work.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you, it's not a plug-and-play thing. It'll be locked when you get it, and even if you could get it unlocked, it's not going to have the right program in there more than likely because they use one radio with different systems.
Is the technology that the techs use to reprogram, say, an ECM or a body control module or the windshield wiper module on those early model GMs, will that change? Will that change that
radio? Well, it's the same system. You know, it's our service programming system that you have to go through to program.
Right.
It's the same system that if I have to put an engine control module or whatever in, it's that same system to do the radio.
Do y'all
take
time to do that?
We can do that. Sometimes on one that old, you have to actually call GM and get them to put it back in the system because there's so many out there now. They've started dropping off some of the older ones that haven't had any activity in several years.
Okay.
And you have to get them to put it back in the system where you can do it, which is not that big a deal. It just takes a little time, but be done.
What about a tech that's got that that older equipment or that equipment that, say, that he got from a parts warehouse that used to program that stuff?
It depends on the system, really, but you still have to have the access to the GM system to be able to program it.
Oh, okay. So you don't. You can't.
It's not like a program that's stored in a computer. Oh, okay. You have to go get it from GM
so
and then download it.
An independent's not likely to be able to do that.
Not unless they have access through, you know, like AC Delco or something. You know, there are ways to have that access, but you know, unless you're doing it several times a day.
Where I was
day,
going, what I was trying to do is trying to find an economical way for him to do this, and I know that Mark McGugan.
Mm-hmm.
At McGugan's shop out there, and he's now on Hillcrest right there at Cottage Hill, has got all of that system that CarQuest used to have.
Right.
So CarQuest got out of that when Advance bought them out.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I know that he's programmed some stuff for me and for my 98 model Buick that I've got.
Right,
that I couldn't find with other shops.
Name McGugan for me.
Sir? I think it's McGugin.
Yep, it's right there in the almost across the street from the fire station, right there on Hillcrest at
Cottage Hill.
Hillcrest and Cottage Hill.
He's the second building off of Cottage Hill on Hillcrest.
Yeah,
I got you.
Yep.
Okay, he's in that old oil change shop that's there.
Yep.
Yeah, I got one more question.
Okay,
that radio gets hot.
Yeah.
Is that normal for a radio of that type to do that?
They'll get hot. Because, you know, it has a built-in amplifier that builds heat, but that is another sign of it having a problem.
Okay.
You know, if it's getting excessively hot, then it's just another sign that radio has a problem.
On the little dial where you change the channel.
Right.
You know, place your finger up there and it just almost burns your finger. And I was wondering maybe it's dangerous.
Yeah, it's, you know, I've never seen one catch fire or anything like that, but, you know, I never say never, you know, it is a possibility, of course. Yeah. So it's probably something you need to address and, you know, on something that vintage, there are ways to do an aftermarket radio in that may be more cost effective. So, you know, just have to do a little due diligence and check around and see what they can do for you.
Do you know Tommy at TNT on Airport Boulevard?
No.
Have you heard of him?
No.
Okay. You know where Firestone's at the Bel Air Mall?
I do.
Okay. So across the street from that is a radio place called TNT. TNT.
Like dynamite.
Like getting blown up.
Yeah, yep. But go in and ask for Tommy.
Sure thing.
And
hey, thanks, guys.
Okay, right, buddy.
Appreciate you. But we have another caller online. We have Brian. Brian, you with us?
Hey, guys. How are y'all tonight?
Great. How are you?
Just fine. I was finally finishing up my work day. Sometimes they're longer than others. But I had a question for you. I've got a 2011 Kia Forte Coupe that I actually bought brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got 215,000 miles on it now. It's always run like a top. About a year ago, I clipped a deer and didn't do any super major damage, but I decided to get the front end fixed. Well, while the guy's been looking at the front end, he keeps trying to tell me that I need to get my transmission flushed out and maybe put a timing chain on it, but the car's running perfect. So my point is, do I need to do anything to that car at all as long as it's running really well? I've always kept the oil changed. I've kept the tires rotated and did all the little stuff you needed to do.
Right.
But I've also never done anything to the transmission at all, but I've never had any problems with it. And I hate to mess with something and then it messes up.
Right. Well, at 200,000 miles, I would kind of hesitate on doing the transmission. It's a little late to start doing anything with it at that point. Now the timing chain, is that one a chain or a belt?
Well, I'm not really sure to tell you the truth. I mean, the guy was just telling me that that could be something that could lock up and over the course of time with a lot of miles in the car itself. I mean, I can't complain. It's probably one of the finest little cars I've ever had. And trust me, I'm kind of a lead foot, so I know it's been pushed pretty hard, but most of the miles have been interstate going back and forth to Memphis to visit family and stuff like that.
Right. Well, you know, if you still have your owner's manual, get the owner's manual out and look at your maintenance schedule. It should tell you whether the timing belt if it's a belt, it'll tell you when the timing belt should be changed. If it is a belt, then yes, I do recommend you get it done because, you know, 200,000 miles is a stretch for it.
Very fortunate. I've got the original belt, everything's still original on there, and I've actually, you know, get underneath there and look at it myself. I'm not like Mr. Super Mechanic, because trust me, I don't have the patience to be one of the reason. But, you know, you'll do some inspection and look at it, make sure everything's fine. And I don't see any wear and tear. Of course, that doesn't mean anything. But I just didn't want to go through an expense of something and then feel like that maybe that was just kind of one of somebody saying one time, hey, let's get, see if this guy will spend some money or not.
Right. Well, you know, like I say, I would check your owner's manual and see what it says about the timing. If it says anything about a timing belt, then, yes, you probably do need to change it. If it's a chain system, I'd leave it alone. As long as it's not making noise, not giving you any problems, leave it alone. Yeah.
No, yeah, that's what, kind of what I thought. I'm not missing anything at all. I mean, it's run. Like I said, I would recommend a Kia to anybody. I had never purchased one. I drove it off the lot, had 3 miles on it. And it has been a fantastic little car.
They're good little rides.
Well, good. Good.
All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, bud. I appreciate you calling in. Let's see. We have a text message here. Solenoid clicks hard but does not spin the flywheel. After 3 or 4 attempts, starter will engage. What needs replacing? Well, more than likely it is the starter itself. Doesn't say what kind of car, but, you know, if you're hearing the solenoid click hard, most likely cause is the starter itself. Now, it, you know, that being said, it's actually the solenoid that is the problem. Even though it is clicking, the main contact in the solenoid usually does not send the power out to the starter motor. But if it's a starter that has a solenoid built onto it, I would replace the starter and solenoid as a unit. If it has a separate solenoid, like some of the earlier Ford stuff, then you may need to check and see if it's actually sending power out to the starter motor. But more than likely, it's going to be the starter itself. So, yeah, you just have to double check and be sure. But I think you're going to end up having to put a starter on it. But we are coming up to a break here. Looks like we're going to take a break and let you hear from our fine sponsors, and we'll be back after these messages.
Sing along
you know
if you want.
My starter won't start this morning. You know my motor won't even turn. You know my starter won't start this morning. You know my motor won't even turn. You know I've been running with a fast class of women. You know they called my little car to run.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. Have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But and speaking of some of our fine sponsors, UJ Chevrolet, we're out. I'm the shop foreman out there. I'll tell you what, we've been stocking up on the 18 model trucks.
Woo!
And because they have the best rebates right now.
Right.
So we had.
Buy a truck, man. Buy an 18.
Yeah.
Still get, you know, brand new truck warranty.
It's a brand new warranty. It's still a current year model. And
it's a new truck.
Yeah. They've got $8,000-$10,000 rebates on some of these new trucks. Yeah.
You know, I called you the other day and asked you about a vehicle, a General Motors vehicle, and we were talking about the length of warranty on drivetrains.
Right.
What is the length of warranty on an 18 model drivetrain?
It is 5 years, 60,000 miles.
5 years, 60?
Yep.
What it's going to be on a 19?
I think it's the same. I don't think they've changed it. It's been that since 2016 was when they changed that. But
okay. 16 had it, but now didn't 15 have like
the 16 had a higher mileage warranty. It went to 100,000 on the powertrain.
Okay,
you can actually buy a certified pre-owned that it actually ups that powertrain warranty to 100,000 miles too. So you can actually get a a better warranty on powertrain warranty on the used stuff.
Really? So yeah. Let's say if I buy, we buy an 18. Mm-hmm. And we got 60,000. Can we get an extended warranty? Can we buy that from the dealer?
Yeah, there's extended warranties available.
Is it best to buy it when you get it new, or do you wait till it gets 50,000?
You can do it either way. They'll probably be mad at me if I tell you to wait.
I understand.
Either way it works.
You know,
if you're going to keep it, do it.
Right, yeah. Right.
Because you can get a rebate on it if you don't use it, if you sell the car before it really takes effect, before it runs out, you can get, some rebate on it.
From the insurance company?
From the warranty companies. Okay. So it's not a big risk to buy it ahead of time.
But, you know, that makes a hell of a selling deal, though, when you're selling it to somebody. Can you sell that warranty with the truck or vehicle?
It can be transferred to another owner.
They can transfer that.
Yeah. So.
That's awesome.
So it's a good selling point on the vehicle as well. So it's a good deal. It really is.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, and, now's the time to buy if you're going to buy something new.
We've already got a parking lot full, plus we had four or five trucks come in today, truck loads come in today.
Of 18s?
Of 18 models. So,
goodness.
So we got a pretty good inventory.
So if you want a truck, you can get one, 18 or 19.
Mm-hmm. And the neat thing about what we do at UJ is we go ahead and we upfit these vehicles with the step bars, the bed mats, the toolboxes, and
dress
them up a little bit. You know,
yeah.
We've got some that we put some of the accessory wheels on, and done some different packages where we've kind of blacked out some of the trucks and some of the other chrome accessories on others and that. So,
let me run this by you. I see where some of these people are selling these, let's say, trucks.
Mm-hmm.
While selling a 15 or 16 model truck or something, and I know these wheels have got wheel sensors in them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're putting different rims and different tires and all on them.
Right.
And they're putting stock air, what do they call it?
Just the valve stems?
Just a stock valve stem in the rim.
Right.
And they're not putting
the sensor back in it.
What's going to happen with that?
Well, you're going to have a tire monitor message come up. You're not going to be able to check your air pressures with the tire. It's always going to have a message pop up showing that you've got a low tire or service the tire monitor system. It's annoying more than anything else, but you'll have to get out and you won't know if you have one going down when you're going down the road and all that kind of stuff. So
what if you've got a tire? Let's say you've got a tire that's put on there that's supposed to run 32 pounds of air,
mm-hmm.
and so then these tire sensors are programmed for whatever that tire pressure is that's in that door on the door panel.
Well, and actually, that's stored in the vehicle. So
it's stored in the vehicle.
Yeah, the sensor is just sending out a message. As long as the sensor that's in that wheel is compatible with the vehicle, you can train it to that vehicle.
How do you do that?
There's several ways, but we have a tool that will actually activate the sensor, and you put it in learn mode and activate each sensor starting at the left front.
In other words, if the tire is originally running 30 pounds or 32 pounds of air,
mm-hmm.
and then the new tires that you get are supposed to have 42 pounds of air in them,
right?
Then you can reprogram module or monitor.
You have to go in. Yeah, you have to go in with a scanner and tell the truck to look for 44 pounds or 45 pounds or whatever.
What I'm seeing is the car lots don't have that capability.
No, they can actually learn the sensor to the truck or car, but they can't change the air pressure rating in the car.
Okay.
So
that's going to have to be done at a dealer.
Yeah, yeah. You know, because if you're running it higher – some of them are turned off to where high pressure does not turn the light on, but a lot of them still do turn the light on with high pressure. So it may be telling you have a low tire light or giving you a message for a tire, and you think it's low. Well, mm-hmm. actually, it's overpressured. So
if I when did the wheel sensors come out? Do you know off the top of your head?
Let's see. They're some of the earlier systems. I know my. My Regal had a different type system. It used the wheel speed sensors. So probably somewhere in the mid-2000s.
Okay. So if you go and buy a used vehicle, particularly General Motors, which is what we're talking about right now, mm-hmm. let's say you buy a 2010 truck, and they've changed the and put some special rims and tires and all on it.
Right.
And is there any way that, that the customer can look at that rim to see if that's a stock valve stem in there, really, or if it's got a – well, how – so he's just going to drive it down the road and see if it, works?
See if it sends a message
See if it sends a message?
If it's not sending a message up and all of them are down, then more than likely they just don't have sensors in them. You know, and some of them, you know, sensors go bad after a while, and not necessarily the sensors, but the battery in the sensor goes bad because they all have batteries in them, and they're good for probably 7-8 years, and then they're – the batteries are gone.
So if you had this, let's say you had this 15 or 16 or 17 model truck and you decided you wanted to put some fancy rims on it and some fancy tires or whatever, change all that structure out.
Right.
Then should you make it a point to have whoever changes those out put your wheel sensors back in the new rims?
Yes, absolutely. Either put sensors in those or take the ones out of your old wheels and put in the new wheels.
Okay.
And you have to be a little careful, too, because I have seen some aftermarket wheels that the sensors do not learn well because of the way they're positioned in the wheel. You know, they're not positioned the way they are on the factory wheels, and they don't pick up as well. Usually they'll work once you get them learned. But yeah. Getting them to learn is a problem at times.
Okay, so that's an area that we need to watch. Is the same thing? Would the same thing apply to the cars?
Yeah, and it's basically the same thing across all car
all models,
makes and models. You know that some have different systems, but they all basically work the same general way. Some you don't have to train, some you do. You know, it's just different systems for different folks.
Okay.
You know? But let's see. We have a text message here. What happens if someone uses cheap non-Dexos rated engine oil? Well, what will happen is over time you will get buildup because the oil is going to break down, and you know the car does not know what kind of oil is in it. So the oil life system is going to tell you to change the oil based on what is supposed to be in it.
Right.
And you're going to run it too long, and it's going to gum the motor up, and you're going to do damage to lifters, camshafts, variable valve timing systems, variable displacement lifters and some of the V8s. Even our 4-cylinders and 6-cylinders have variable lift and variable displacement rocker arm systems on them. All that stuff has very small passages to it. Even like our little 1.4, 1.5, and 2-liter turbo motors, they have a very small passage to the oil feed. It's kind of like a restrictor to the turbo, so it can gum up and cause problems if it starts building up too much inside. So it's really not it's almost not worth changing your own oil anymore. You know, when it comes down to that, you know, I recommend everybody to bring it to the dealer to get it changed because, you know, like ours, we have a 5995 oil change tire rotation special, which runs all the time. I can't call it a special. It's our normal price. but, you know,
so then
in
you
that.
You would put synthetic fluid in it if it needed it?
The only thing we use is synthetic.
The only thing you've got in the house.
The only thing we got in the house, except for our diesels, you know, and it uses a different type of oil.
That's a reasonable price, yeah, for a synthetic and also a tire rotation and a safety check.
Well, you know, that's the safety check and your tire rotation, and, you know, you can get it, and I've seen prices higher than that. Much higher than that at some of these quick lube places, mm-hmm. and they don't rotate the tires. So,
okay.
So they're not taking the tires off. They're not looking at the brakes and suspension the way they should be. So, you know, for the price, you're getting
that's reasonable. Yep, that's
you're getting reasonable. The right oil. Yep. You're getting the right filter. You're using a GM filter. You're getting your tires rotated the way they should be. You've got GM trained technicians looking at it. And it's just, and if you do have a problem, if it's still under warranty, if you do still have a problem with it, you don't have to go digging around looking right. for an oil change record,
right.
you know, you to prove it. That you've had it done. We have the record.
You've got it. You got it in your computers. You won't even ask them about it.
Right. It won't be a question because it's been done at our right. place. We'll
there
know
you
it.
Go.
So are you saying if you go cheap on your motor oil, you're going to pay for it in the long run.
It can. And yes. it can definitely cost you a lot more than what you saved.
Yep.
It can definitely cost you a motor, and if it has the wrong filter or wrong oil in it, it can cost you your warranty as well. So you'll be footing the bill for it instead of somebody else.
Because if something happens to that motor, that's the first thing they're going to look at is what kind of oil's in it, what's your oil record, and let me pull the oil filter and let me look at it.
Right, exactly. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back.
I stopped off at the Quick Sack for some beer and cigarettes. The old man took my money as he stirred at my Corvette. He said I had one just like her son in 1963. Hell, a man down at the bank took her from me. Oh, she was hotter than a $2 pistol. She was the fastest thing around. Long and lean, every young man's dream. She turned every head in town. She was built and fun to handle, son. I'm glad that you dropped in. She reminds me of the one I loved back then.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. Have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But we do have a caller online. Ted, you with me? Ted, you there?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. What can I do for you?
Well, I've got a 2003 Ford Excursion.
Mm-hmm.
220,000 miles on it.
Yep.
It's have no problems whatsoever with it. But I have something is draining the batteries.
Yeah.
Now, if I continue to drive it on a like a daily basis or every other day, it'll keep building up and it won't have any problem.
Right.
But if it's set for, I don't know how many days, I've never really checked it, but 2 to 3 to 4 days, it won't crank.
Right, right.
It'll turn over, but it just doesn't have enough. I've had batteries checked. I've had alternators. I'm just going to have to leave it somewhere,
right?
Let it run down, and let them do some diagnostics on it. I don't know of any other thing to do, but I was listening to you on the radio, and I said, well, let me call the doctor here, and he might have a magical fix.
Well,
I'll send you a pill.
Well, there's not a real magical fix for that, but the right way to go about doing that is to you'll have to get it to somebody with the right equipment. Which basically is a like a Fluke meter, you know, an amp meter, where you can disconnect your batteries, hook it up through your amp meter through the negative side of the battery, and see how many actual amps is pulling. If it's pulling more than about 25 or 30 milliamps, once everything goes
milliamps.
Once it goes to sleep, then something is awake and not. Turning off like it should. It could be a light in the glove box, sun visor lights. You know, it's a lot of things. Make sure you don't have anything plugged into any of the power outlets in the vehicle. They can cause them to stay on. You know, make sure your brake lights are turning off. But usually, brake lights, it'll kill it overnight. It won't wait 2 or 3 days. But you know, something is on and causing it to draw down, and what you'll have to do is, you know, hook up to it, find out what the draw, how much the draw is. If it's excessive, then you'll just have to start turning systems off, you know, by pulling fuses or whatever, until you locate the system that is causing the problem. Then you have to isolate it from there. So, you know, it's going to have to be someone that has, you know, the experience of doing that, you know, to run it down and see what's actually going on. But, you know, that's definitely a job for someone with the right equipment, for sure.
Right. Well, the one thing that we thought might have been doing is it has a theft system.
Uh-huh.
So we had that disconnected.
Right.
Oh, so I don't think that's the culprit.
Yeah,
does
it?
Well, listen, I appreciate it.
Okay.
I realize it's going to be probably a long, drawn-out kind of electrical search.
Right, right.
But I don't know of any other thing to do.
Yeah, you know, and you know, one thing to do is just get in there, close all the doors, turn the key off, and look around. Look, listen, you know, see if you hear any noises, see if you see anything lit up that's not supposed to be lit up.
Right.
You can kind of peek into the glove box without actually opening it up. You know, look at your sun visors, see if those vanity lights are on as soon as you start cracking open that little lid. You know, if it is, then they're not shutting off like they should. You know, it you know, look at the radio, make sure it's powering down, the clock and everything should turn off. There's a lot of little things you can just kind of look for. If you see something that's still powered up after it's been sitting for a little while, then you know, go look at that area. But otherwise, you just have to, you know, some of these modules, they'll stay awake for some, you know, odd reason. They just decide to do it at times, and, you know, it's just an internal fault of the module. You won't have any real indicators without just, you know, getting in there and starting watching the meter. So,
well, have y'all had any experience with this kind of problem? Have you known it before?
Well, not on that particular truck. You know, I'm more of a GM guy, but it is a fairly, not real common, but it is a fairly common issue at times. You know, we see it from time to time.
Right.
So it's not a real unusual thing, but
what part of town you in?
West Mobile.
Dude, who is your mechanic or your technician?
Well, I'm using Chris Pate out in Grand Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brown and the guys out on 98.
Brown and Cahey.
1,000 years.
Yeah,
Brown and Cahey.
Yes, yeah.
That's it.
Donnie out there.
Go see Donnie.
Yeah.
I've been referred to him,
mm-hmm.
and that's where I'm going to take it and leave it for several days and give it enough time to, you know, let it drain itself down.
See Donnie out there. Tell him Tom Claxton told you to come out there and see him, or Kevin.
I will.
All right.
I will. I tell you, I had some time with him. He's a neat guy.
He's a good guy.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Been there forever.
Yep. So. He's good people.
Now, Tom, if he does that, he ain't going to throw him out, is
he? No. We're good friends.
Okay.
Yep.
you know, I'm the only friends with the technicians like that I trust.
Yep. All right.
Have a good one.
I appreciate y'all's time.
All right. I appreciate you calling in. But let's see. We have a message here from Rapid Ray's daughter, Michelle. Mm. But what is the difference between a direct and indirect TPM, which is tire pressure monitor? The direct is actually a sensor that will send a signal straight to a receiver, which is usually the either the body control or the keyless entry receiver. The indirect uses the wheel speed sensors to calculate air pressure based on tire speed. Because as a tire loses pressure, it actually speeds up in comparison to where the others are. So that's the way they did the earlier ones.
That's hard for people to understand.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons it actually hurts your gas mileage. Not only is it the rolling resistance, it's mm-hmm. actually rolling faster. So you're having to go fast. The motor's running harder to go the same speed. So, you know. Good question.
What tech school she goes to?
Well, this is a car doctor school. I mean, she's calling in asking questions every week.
Yeah,
so
she's a good thing. You're training her?
Yeah.
I think Michelle's going to open her own garage.
I think I got a guy that wants to hire her. You know, it's a tech,
you
know.
She keeps it up. She'll be ready.
There you go. She'll be ready.
It's all good.
Get you some powder blue wrenches.
Yeah, she can let Rapid Ray retire, you know, and you know, just send him a check every month.
You know, she would not be the first in Mobile, you know, first female.
You know, a friend of ours, Roger,
just
hired one from Louisiana and bringing her to Mississippi.
Yep.
Because she could turn 50, 60 hours a week at a dealership. Yep.
There you go.
It can be done. I mean, there's some very, very qualified technicians
She's even a good diagnostician.
Yep, absolutely.
See y'all back in 2 weeks.
Yep, be back in 2 weeks. But y'all have a great week, and we'll be back.
Hoorah!
one day in, the next day gone. Sometimes you bend, sometimes you stand, sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world outside.